Thank you for joining us on Warrior Women Speak. I'm Judge Rosemarie Aquilina, author of Just Watch Me, and I'm joined with my co-host, Sherry Botwin, LCSW, social worker and trauma specialist, and author of Thriving After Trauma, Stories of Living and Healing. We have created this podcast for your enjoyment and so that we all can talk about our issues and learn together about how to deal with trauma and those things that spring up in our everyday life. Please join us for every episode and let us know what you want to talk about. Now for the show. Welcome back. We have talked a lot about trauma, and everybody has trauma. It doesn't matter who you are, doesn't matter what kind of trauma, it does affect us. But here's the thing. Trauma can turn into success. You simply have to look at the negatives and turn them into positives. Positive personal growth, positive personal change, the increased ability to succeed over all of the crap that you've gone through. That is tremendous. So one of the things we're going to talk about today, among many, because as you know, Sherry and I go into a lot of different topics. We say it's about one and we go into about five others, but we're going to talk about not ignoring the trauma and dealing with it, and then making sure that you are finding meaningful ways to handle the trauma, but not only to handle it, but to move past it, to go forward, to go over the bumps and not into the potholes, and really to soar into success and a beautiful new you. It sounds like I'm making it very easy, but it can be very difficult, right, Sherry?
It can be very difficult, and it's definitely a process, but it is certainly possible.
So one of the things I think first people need to do is to not ignore trauma. And let's just talk, we've had many shows on trauma, but let's just talk a minute about trauma, because it could be a trauma that was just really small, like not being invited to a big birthday party in second grade that everybody went to, or you thought everyone went to, and you couldn't go either because you weren't invited, or maybe you were sick and then everybody was talking about it and you were excluded. That might seem like such a trivial thing, but you can remember that the rest of your life and have that sort of feeling of being excluded. Is that trauma? Yes, I think it's trauma. It can also be the trauma of losing a loved one or being in a car accident. You know, when I was in second grade, I went through the windshield. I was in a car accident with my mother. So I have a scar between my eyebrows and I have a couple of other scars. And people say now, well, we can't see it. And I say, well, it's there. I can see it. I'm sure you can see it. You're just kind enough to not see it. And I've always thought since I was in second grade that God did that to me as a reminder that I should never be too vain and that I should never think that I'm above people. So I don't know how, but I was given this sort of fortitude to jump forward and look at this horrible negative thing that I went through in a positive way. I know a lot of people don't do that. But again, there has been some trauma with that growing up and thinking I'm the only girl with a scar. I'm never going to be pretty. I'm never going to go anywhere. And of course, I've jumped over many hurdles and I'm successful. So there's also other traumas, being sexually assaulted, whether you are in any kind of other criminal situation, somebody breaks into a grocery store where you're in, or breaks in your house, or, you know, steals your wedding rings. I recently had a case where an elderly woman was broken into and that she didn't care about anything they took, but they took her wedding rings. So when the hearing came, she told me about the trauma. She just lost her husband a year before, and now she lost their wedding rings. They had been married about 70 years. And the defendant, hearing that, really broke down and said, I know I'm not allowed at your house, but I will come and take a metal detector and help you find it. And then a police officer also joined in and said, we have metal detectors and we will help find it. So that was really a healing moment. It was helping her get over the trauma. And my point is, little things or big things, trauma exists in every single human being, and we can turn it into positivity.
It's kind of like when something is taken that we can't get it back. That can be considered a trauma. And when you talk about success, having success after trauma, it's about learning how to live with what we can't get back, and also learning how to reclaim that, finding ways to sit with the loss and figure out how to reframe that, or how to turn that out of control feeling of I just lost something that I can never get back, to being able to get more in your life moving forward, even if it's not the wedding ring or the sense of worth that maybe you lose in second grade when you're feeling excluded. That's what success is about. It's about flipping our experiences that left us feeling unwanted, unheard, or in some cases, like you're describing, violated, intruded upon, and finding ways to live a life that's not just about those things that just happened to you or that have already happened to you.
And in order to flip the script, you really need to find that you're not going to be alone, that you can and should, and hopefully will, reach out to others and talk about what's going on, get some guidance to help make sense of all of it, because connection with other humans helps to minimize any shame or baggage that you may carry about the trauma, because the trauma that was placed upon you is not your fault, but you can get over it with the help of others.
And I think too, part of what, when I hear the word success and thrive and warrioring on, these different expressions that we say in the field or among survivors, I think about how being able to thrive is about being able to also learn how to get back into our bodies, to be able to find words, to be able to make sense of our experiences, even situations that actually don't make sense, and finding some type of meaning so that we can have a place for the experience and it not be all of who we are. I think part of what happens for people when something happens is that becomes the definition of their identity, that trauma, that loss, that assault, that night when somebody's involved in a shooting or a witness to a shooting, that becomes the thing that consumes. Because again, when we don't process and digest something that happens to us, our minds end up becoming full of the memories, the thoughts, the feelings, partly as a way to work through the experience, but also because most of us don't want to have to feel what we didn't feel as the trauma was happening. We want to stay out of touch. We want to stay numb. So I think that's part of it right there.
I think the issue that you just raised is really finding meaning in trauma. And for me, the meaning in trauma would be that trauma is now redefined as reinventing yourself in a whole new way with a whole new perspective and your relationship to the world. And when you do that, you are really opening up a whole new world and a whole new self, a lot of new experiences, and those hopefully are positive. And if you stay in the negative, you just go down the rabbit hole. If you can climb one step at a time with positivity, you emerge into the sunlight and into a new, better life.
Yeah. And again, you know, as we're talking about this, I feel like people may be thinking, but how do you do that? How do you go from being in the darkness, from being consumed with the shame and the fear and the anger? How do you go from that to actually moving into a life that's about meaning? You and I were talking before we started recording about some experiences that you've had as a judge sitting in a room with perpetrators and victims. So maybe you can share an example for us of what that would look like and how that even starts.
You know, what's interesting, I have thousands of examples, but recently, especially because we had a law change in Michigan so that people with a prior criminal history could not get them expunged if they had more than one. Well, the law changed, so you're allowed to have more than one. You can have a couple of felonies and misdemeanor and come to court and ask the judge to expunge those to make a non-public record. Several years have to pass. So you have to get permission from the state police, prosecutor's office, the attorney general to make sure that you're in compliance. And there's some other rungs, but unbelievably, so many people, I do several of these every single week. And oftentimes the stories are the same because I ask before I grant this, I ask, what have you learned? What would you like me to know? What has changed today? Where have you been? What have you accomplished? What are you doing now? And because you all know, I love the backstory. It tells me so much. It's a window into someone's soul and what happened. So people tell me, you know, the friends that I had, I realized when I got arrested, they weren't around. So I dropped them. I should have listened to my mother, my teacher, my mentor, whoever. And they went a whole different direction and they started accomplishing small things that turned into larger things that turned into larger things. And with each success, they said, wow, I did that and I can do more. And many of these people have gone from drug addicts, breaking into homes, all sorts of really heinous crimes to business owners, running companies. They now, because their record is non-public, they are now CEOs of companies. They're mentoring others. They've opened doors for others. And instead of giving away their power, they not only maintain their power, but share it with others. And they are finding, and what they tell me is they are just finding such glory and such affirmation in the positive and releasing all of those negative things. But they had a lot of lessons to learn. And they did that stumbling sometimes across, you know, the way, not always succeeding, being denied loans, having to go through other channels, but going through it honestly. And they have healthy babies and great families, they're community leaders. And those accomplishments, one at a time, made their basket that was empty, slowly filled with, you know, little pebbles that became rocks that became boulders of happiness instead of weighing them down.
Maybe one of the things people can do when they think about what does it mean to thrive or be successful after trauma is write down what would some of those things be that you would want to do. For example, would you want to be able to go to your boss and say, I want a raise? Would you want to be able to talk with your partner about a behavior that leaves you feeling triggered? Would you want to start some type of charity or nonprofit to help other people who were abused as children? There's different things that I'm thinking of. I think that would be really helpful because I think one of the things that happens for people when they lose their identity in the midst of having to go through something scary, horrific, awful, is that we end up losing sight of what we even are here for. Like, why am I here on earth? Am I only here on earth so that I can be a product of somebody else's pathology? So I think that would be really helpful for people. If you're sitting here listening, thinking, I don't even know what that would look like, try to think about what are some of the things that you want to master? What are some of the things that you want to be able to overcome? A lot of times when people have histories during developmental years, during childhood, their rites of passage, those milestones that we hear about, are often disrupted because of things that happened to them or us. So even to be able to go back and say, I never really succeeded in that part of my childhood, or I never really figured out how to process or comprehend things that I'm reading. So it could be anything. And I think that it's empowering to sit here and talk about this stuff, because I think when people hear the word success, they think of money, they think of something huge. It doesn't have to be. It could be something as small as, I was talking to a client the other day who, she's now 30 years old, and I've known her since she was 18, and she has been in a whole bunch of relationships that are considered, that we would consider emotionally abusive, narcissistic abuse. And we were in our session last week, and she talked to me about how for the first time ever, she was able to recognize how her partner triggered her. She was able to manage the feelings. She was able the next day to sit down with her partner and say, when you do this, this is what I feel. And then her partner could say back to her, and when you do that, this is what I feel. And between the two of them, because of course they're both survivors of trauma, they were able to figure out how to do it differently the next time. And when we were in the session, my client and I, it was like a celebration. I was like, you go, you get it, girl, check you out. And she was like, go me. And she was all like excited and celebrating because she had never, ever had that experience. She always assumes that when somebody triggers her, they're ultimately going to end up being another abusive partner. And what she's realizing in this relationship is that her partner has issues, as do we all, but that doesn't mean that her partner is going to do the same thing to her that everybody else has done to her. That's
really
like
love
huge.
What you're saying, because
which one, the go get 'em girl, that part,
all of it, like asking yourself questions and really analyzing yourself, because it's okay to go to a therapist and everybody needs one and, you know, somebody to talk to. Okay. But I think that trauma creates this perfect storm of negative expectations in ourselves. Mm-hmm. And we sort of live in the negative, but when we flip it into positivity and possibility, then we need to do what you're saying, is to ask those hard questions and look at, okay, who in my life is not trustworthy? Write it down and excise them, get rid of them from your life, and then ask, who can you trust? And then make sure one of those questions you ask is, can I trust myself? And in what situations can I trust myself? And in what situations can I not trust myself? And look and analyze and ask those questions about, okay, how can I change that? Because ultimately you must trust yourself in all circumstances. And when you can't, you need to reach out for help. And you really need to examine, what's my self-worth? Do I know that I'm valuable? Why don't I know that? How do I learn to trust myself and think that I am valuable and know that I am valuable? And do I feel shameful when someone's talking about a certain subject or when I'm in a certain kind of group? And how can I change that? And then if there's, you know, anger or sadness because of a loss or grief or some kind of pain or trauma, you know, how can I, in those situations when I'm in my darkest, go into the light and turn this situation into a happy one? I always talk about my grandfather for years and years. October 18th was when he died. It was my dark day. It's so funny because on Gilmore Girls, if you ever watch that, Luke has his dark day, right?
Dark day. What's a dark day?
It was when Luke had his dark day. It was when his dad died. And for me, my dark day was when my grandfather died. I didn't want to get married on the 18th of October. I don't want to go anywhere. I don't want to work. I literally want to crawl in a hole because I remember the funeral and I remember saying goodbye and I remember kissing my grandfather on the cheek. And I remember so many bad things, but I have flipped that to say, you know what? He's with me. He's here. I'm a product of him. He lives within me. Every lesson he taught me, I'm trying to live in his honor. And I try to go into the light and look at the positive. And I then don't feel defeated. I feel like, okay, I have to accomplish more because I know he's that much more proud of me. And so I turn the helpless and hopeless side of me, because I would give anything to hug him, right? And to see him for 5 more minutes, I turn that into strong and happy because I know he's with me, because I'm doing his work, because I'm honoring his words. And I don't worry then about, okay, I can't see him in this reality because I know he's there with me. So whatever the situation is, you have to look at the glass half full, not empty. And where in what positive space can you land in? Because you don't have to land in a negative puddle. You can jump to the mountain.
And maybe if you think about it, you're talking about anniversaries, dates, which are reminders. Yeah. And yes, for many of us, these dates and these reminders are so painful, even just the apprehension leading up to the date or weeks before starting to think, oh my gosh, October 18th is coming again. One of the things that happened in January for me was January 12th is the day I lost my dog, Chloe. And
oh, yes.
I love my Chloe. She's sitting in front of me, basically staring at me on the wall. And she's been gone for 12 years. So I was talking to somebody about her and I said, maybe this year on January 12th, maybe Chloe will bring me something. Maybe a gift will come. And what ended up happening a few hours later is I got an email from my book agent that I'm being offered a contract for another book. First thing I did was text my friend Amy and say, Amy, listen to what Chloe did. I swear Chloe is part of the reason why this is happening. So for me now, January 12th is not just the death day of my dog, Chloe. It's also the birthday of my next book.
Yes, absolutely.
How so do you like that?
I love that. And, you know, I feel like I know Chloe because you posted her picture not once, but several times. But I think on her anniversary, you usually post her picture. And you know, again, it's a way to honor her. And yeah, she gave you a gift. There's somebody I know, and I know she listens to the podcast, and she lost a lot of her family members. I don't want to go into details, but when she sees rainbows, she knows that her family's looking at her and are with her. And I did not know that. And I don't remember if she was having a dark day or something, but I sent her something with a rainbow just on a little message. And she said, why did you do that? I said, I don't know. She said, that was a message from my parents. And so you just never know where you're getting the messages or who you're getting them through. Looking for them, I think, is comforting. And even when you think they're not there, they are there.
Absolutely. Oh my goodness. This is like, we're going from successes to like, it's almost about like two, learning how to find happiness and joy in some of the darkest of times. When we talk about losing parents or losing pets or going through experiences that leave us just feeling like our whole life has been turned upside down, there is power in being able to think about if we could make it through that, whatever thing that happened, which we've all made it through many difficult things, then it's not just that we can survive, but we can actually live a life that is so meaningful. And in some ways, and I don't want to say that having bad things happen is good because that's not what I think, but sometimes people who experience hardship end up having more fulfilling lives. People in my line of work, therapists, right? People who don't specialize in trauma will say to me, how do you do that for a job? Isn't it the most depressing thing ever? And I say, no. People who've been through trauma are the hardest working people. They're like the best people to work with because they want so much. They want so much. They want so much. We're motivated. We have so much drive and all that energy that sometimes get pushed into surviving and numbing ourselves. If we transfer that or redirect that energy, we end up becoming empowered and successful and loud speaking voices that for some of us means reaching people all around the world.
Yeah. And I think it's really important that if you've gone through trauma or you're in a stressful moment for whatever reason, you share and talk about whatever that adversity is, and you have a confidant to do that, whether it's a therapist, a best friend, someone who you trust. And sometimes it could be a group. I love groups because they'll call you on your crap and they'll say, no, you're looking at this wrong. Why are you doing that? And I don't like that why word, but why sometimes shames you into really deeply thinking about, yeah, I better not do that to myself. I don't deserve that. But I think that when you're talking about making the list, and even if it's only a mental list, every single human being has personal strengths. And instead of looking at the weaknesses that were caused by trauma or because God didn't make us a certain way, whatever it is, I think we need to make a list of our strengths and then use those strengths to help us overcome whatever we're experiencing. Because nothing can stop you when you are strong, when you are motivated, when you trust your gut, nothing can stop you from taking your feet and moving them forward right past whatever trauma hole is waiting for you. You just jump right over it.
So do you think with some of the people that you see in your courtroom, is that something that you think some of the criminals or predators are working on when they're behind bars? Are they making those lists? Are they talking with their therapists about not just what they've done wrong, but what they've been able to do right in their lives?
Yes. Now, some predators, some criminals will never admit they did anything wrong, and they think that people were meant for them to abuse. And, we're not talking about those people. Those people deserve to be behind bars. And you can see an escalation, and they have a lack of regard for all human life, animal life. It's just, and I don't know what happens to those people. On this planet, they stay behind bars. I don't know if, I have this theory that there is no devil. I have this theory that we all go to heaven and God is going to play a reel about this is what your wife life would have been had you done the right things. And that's enough to send me into, oh no. And maybe that's the devil that we get to look at what should have been and what could have been and all the things we missed out on. And that's really what I see with those people who are rehabilitated. They sit in prison and they say, I don't want to ever wear these clothes again. I want to eat a burger that I choose. I want to, sleep in sheets that are soft that I want to sleep in. I don't want to have somebody watch me urinate and, not give me medical attention the minute I need it, which you all can have all those things as a free person. And when they come back to me and they say, I'll say, well, what did you think of jail or prison? I didn't like it. Well, why? And they say, because I missed my family. I lost out on so many things. I didn't get to go to funerals. I didn't have any freedoms and I didn't feel like a human being. And now that I'm out, I'm going to do better.
So it
I
motivates
changed my,
them.
yeah, it motivates them. I've changed my friends. I live in a different place. I, got some job training. I'm really happy I got a paycheck. I'm hugging my kids. I never want to be without them again. And they really have made a recommitment to have a better life within themselves and to pass that on to others. And what I see then too is it breaks the generational, we see generations behind bars. And so, when you have someone who really takes advantage of that rehabilitation phase, whether it's on probation or incarceration, what we see is the breaking of the generational crime, and it goes into generational success. And when anytime we can move anyone from generational crime to generational success, I'm there, I'm rooting for them. And they really just need to know that someone believes in them. And sadly, a lot of people are in front of me. I'm the one who believes in them. They didn't have anybody in their life, but they say they do it for me. And I say, no, you did it for yourself because they had that success within. I just opened a little door and said, look at all that you can do.
You're like the person that gives them that feeling of worth, and that there's you have empathy because you can see on some level what life is like or was like for them. I think when you meet some of them, you see their younger selves or their hurt selves. And I think, again, part of reclaiming, when I think about working with survivors or working with people who say to me, I'll never be able to have a healthy relationship, I'll never be able to trust, I'll never be able to be a parent. It's sort of the same thing as what you're saying. It's just in a different way. When you actually have somebody that believes in you or says to you, what makes you think that you'll never be able to have a healthy relationship? What makes you think that because you're an abuse survivor, that you wouldn't be able to parent without being an abuser? Being able to ask these important questions and say to people, it is possible to break a cycle. It is possible to be different than your experience. And here's how you can figure that out, or here's how you can go about that. So I think that's one of the things that keeps you and I in our work is that we do see success. You see it when you have perpetrators or predators or what criminals saying, I want my criminal record to be expunged. You get to decide as a judge, have they earned that? Have they done enough in this world to be granted that? I get to see it in my work because I work with people who've been in multiple relationships that are toxic, abusive, but then through a lot of talking and hard work, they end up changing those patterns and they meet people that they feel safe with. They meet people that they feel a sense of purpose with. they meet people that make them feel like they're important and respected and worthy of being treated with respect. So I think, you know, that's part of what we're talking about today.
And part of what I think we can talk about or add to the list of making lists is, where do you see yourself in 5 years, right? I ask people, where do you see yourself? Most of the people, and it's not many, it is most of the people who appear in front of me, when I say, where do you see yourself in 5 years? They haven't even thought about tomorrow, because today they were busy thinking about, you know, I'm not in a safe place. I don't have anything to eat. I don't know, you know, where my family is. There's all these things that are plaguing them. And so they haven't thought about tomorrow. And they're stunned when I say, where do you see yourself in 5 years? They say, I don't know. I say, well, let me ask you this. Do you want to be the passenger on a bus? Do you want to be the driver of the bus? Or do you want to own the bus? And they all pause for a couple of minutes and think about it. And 100% across the board, they look up at me and they say, I want to own the bus.
Only and one bus? I'm thinking, how about owning 50 buses?
Well, yeah, and that's the start, right? And so I say, okay, let's figure out how you're going to get there. So whether it's job training or education, different neighborhood they live in, not hanging around the people, we figure it out. And once they take that one step of positivity, it leads to the next and the next. And yes, many of them then come back and say, here's the music I've written. Here's the business. Will you attend the grand opening? And it's amazing when you make that list about where do you see yourself? What do you want to accomplish? You will find a way to do it if that's what you really want to do. Set aside the negativity and go in the positivity and accomplish it.
I think too, even if you can, if you ask somebody, where do you see yourself in 6 months, in 1 year, in 5 years, if you even can have an answer, then you've already made it. It's the people who, like you said, who say, I can only think about tomorrow. Well, only thinking about tomorrow is not going to be enough to sustain you. Here's one of my successes right now. My cat trying to literally mess up this whole show, but you are one of my successes, Zovi. She, for some reason, she's interested in being a part of the show. But again, even being able to be a pet owner when you've come from a family where you've been abused, you know, these are things people don't think that they can do. So I think if you ask somebody, where do you see yourself in however many years, and they have an answer, that's where you start. You write down the answer to your question, and that becomes your process.
Yes. It's very interesting to me how many people have not thought they could be anything. And so turning that trauma into success is, you know, I've gone through all of this. Mm-hmm. Now, where do I want to be and how am I going to get there? And then making a list of those little steps. Every baby step leads to a block and then another block. And before you know it, you've covered the whole city and you're where you need to be. So, you know, there's really no excuse for saying, I'm stuck in trauma, I'm never going to get out. I just don't believe in that. I know that people are stuck in it and then they go round and round. It's a merry-go-round of one trauma to the next and they can never get off the merry-go-round. Yep. But I'm asking you to think about that and to bounce off the merry-go-round, to bounce forward, not backward, not circular. Keep taking one step at a time, because that is the way to have a joyous life. And people who go through trauma, and I know that there have been times in my life I've gone through trauma. And now at my age, I look back and think, why did I waste so much time? And I know everybody has to heal in their own time and space, but don't be like me and look back and say, what took me so long? Keep moving forward, ask for help, and make sure that you don't go down the rabbit hole of despair. You stay positive and optimistic and use those setbacks as teachable moments. And then again, go over the bumps, not the potholes.
I mean, again, you know, I think what you're talking about too, is you're talking about the process. And I'm thinking as we're having this conversation, because I know we're about to end, what a great thing to be able to do maybe for people, for listeners, is to think about some of what we're saying. And if you feel like you're somebody that is stuck and that you want more success, or if you're somebody that has had success after trauma, please share with us. These are the stories that we want to hear, because this is the stuff that we talk about And this is why one of the reasons why we do the show, because we're trying to instill hope and empower. So if you're out there and you're thinking, I have a story I want to share, please send it to us. Email us at warriorwomenspeak@gmail.com and let us know what that success is.
And make sure you're not ignoring the trauma. You're reaching out to others. You're finding meaning in the trauma, and you are open always to seeing yourself and the world and those around you in new and better ways. And stay optimistic, not pessimistic, and stay positive about all the possibilities, because remember, in this world, anything is possible. And we love hearing from you. So keep the conversation going and let us know your story.
Love it. What a great way to end. And as always, I loved having this conversation with you.
And I always love having this conversation with you. I always tell you things that I haven't told other people. It's pretty scary, Sherry.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. But I love seeing your cat. And you know what? Your cat's getting pretty fat. If you keep feeding the cat like that, he won't fit on the screen.
And now here comes my kid, too. Everybody,
I need to show you something real quick.
Can you give me a second?
Can I just show you this real quick?
One second. This is success,
this is
too.
This is our lives. This is what's happening.
Anyway, wait, hold on one second.
All right. So that is Warrior Women Speak. We will see you next week. And of course, Sherry, you are laughing as always. Have a great week, guys.
Thank you so much for joining us today on Warrior Women Speak. It is truly an honor to have conversations that are difficult to have, but that we need to have. Judge Aquilina and myself are so excited to announce that we are now doing speaking engagements in addition to our podcast. To learn more, you can email us directly at warriorwomenspeak@gmail.com. And don't forget to rate and review our show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen if you are enjoying what you're hearing. Until next time.